It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in, listening all over North America on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158, and everybody tuning in on a smart speaker. Just ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to Ryan Hickey, super producer and host, holding it down in New York City. And thank you to you for listening. Whether you're sitting in traffic, you're at home, or you're at work, let's just have some fun. I'm going to be rolling for the next 3 hours. It's a four-hour show. I've been hanging out with you for 1 hour because I get started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You want to participate in the show? You want to do anything? You want to hang out? It's simple. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. You can also get a hold of me. I am everywhere, online, on social media, at JR Sport Brief. Hey, listen, with all this NFL Combine news going on out in Indianapolis, in about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Armando Saguero. He's going to come through in about 20 minutes, and we want to know what the hell is going on, what is likely to happen. You know, we just discussed some of the potential trade candidates. Justin Fields, Ryan Pohl says he's not getting moved. Well, no, he didn't say that. He said he hopes to have a resolution over the next 2 weeks. He might get moved. I think he will. Davante Adams, Tom Telesco, the new general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, says he's a Raider. He ain't getting moved. And then when it comes down to someone like Justin Jefferson, we had this conversation yesterday. The general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, Kwasi Adofo-Mensah, he basically said, yeah, why the hell would I want to trade or move Justin Jefferson? A matter of fact, this is what he had to say when asked that same question by a reporter. Listen to both.
Quasi, along the lines of things being thrown out about Justin, maybe some that are false, is there a world where you would ever consider making him available for a trade?
That is not something that's once crossed my mind. You got a blue player, a blue person. You try and keep those, as many of those as you can.
Okay. Yeah, you want to keep him close. I think Justin Jefferson is not going anywhere. And so there are more players that I do want to discuss. Sean Payton talked about the potential future of Russell Wilson. We'll discuss that later on in the show. But I do want to pick up on something that I mentioned right before the break. And it's a little related to Kirk Cousins because he's a free agent. He can go anywhere. Do I think he's moving? Not necessarily. Is it a possibility? Of course it is. But if I had to kind of weigh it out, I think Kirk Cousins is going to stay in Minnesota. I think it has to do with familiarity. He's already talked about all the money that he's been able to make in the NFL. He's coming off of an injury. I think when you factor or at least put all of those factors together, the likelihood is that he's probably going to want to stay. Let's see if they can get the job done. And so one of the teams that I think has been bandied about, but I don't see it as realistic, the Atlanta Falcons, the team that plays 5 minutes from me here in Atlanta, right down the road at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I wanted to call it the Georgia Dome, but they blew it up. Well, they imploded it to make room for this Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the fact is, the Falcons were garbage last year. 7-10 again. The year before that, 7-10. The year before that, 7-10. They've been looking for a franchise quarterback since they upset Matt Ryan at the end of his career trying to go after Deshaun Watson. And so, unfortunately, as a result, Arthur Smith is gone. He's now running the offense, you know, up in Pittsburgh. And then here you have the Falcons, who I don't think anyone wants to see Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke. I mean, even Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, who is not known to say too much of anything controversial or anything that would hurt anybody's feelings. When he spoke to the media when the season was over, Arthur Blank said our quarterback play was deficient. And if you're Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke, what's your response when you're sitting at home, I don't know, eating dinner or at the gym, and people are sending you messages or you're reading it online about what the owner just said about you? Hickey, how would you feel?
I would feel not very good. I'd feel sad, depressed, and lost confidence.
Oh, well, damn. It's not good. Anyway, I'm sure Desmond Ridder felt the same way, to just be publicly called out, not by a coach or a general manager, but the owner, and knowing that your days are pretty much numbered. And I'm sure deep down inside that he probably knew this, and that his agent likely had the same conversation with him. And so the Falcons, with all of their weapons, the Bijan Robinsons, the Tyler Algiers, the Kyle Pitts of the world, the Drake Londons, all they need is a quarterback on the offense. All they need is a dude to deliver the ball down the field, because as their owner said, their quarterback play was deficient. So they have a new head coach in Raheem Morris. Terry Fontenot is now kind of the sole voice in the front office when it comes down to being a general manager. And now that they have to find a QB that everybody knows they need, the fact that they're also selecting at number 8, Terry Fontenot is also in Indianapolis. He was asked, when the hell are the Falcons going to know when they have their next QB? This is what he told.
We've got a plan, right? And we have a plan, and we spend a lot of time working through, okay, hey, these are our options, and these are the different scenarios. And if you take this option, then this is how you pivot here. If you take this option, this is how you pivot here. So we do have a very strong plan. Now, you have to be adaptive, and you have to be flexible. You got to be light on your feet as you get more information. So we have a plan. We're going to keep working through it, and we'll see. We could have a good idea by the end of this week, or it could be a thing where we keep going. But I know once we kick off at the start of the season, we're going to feel good about it.
Okay, all right. Everybody has a plan, right? Did Mike Tyson say everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth? And I get it. This is the NFL. This is the off season. There's a whole lot of planning that goes on. You know, nobody's getting punched in the mouth unless it's Cam Newton either delivering the punches or getting punched in the mouth. And so, yeah, they can have a plan. And the plan is quite apparent. We're either going to sign a quarterback, or we are going to potentially trade down and select a quarterback. We're going to draft one. Well, new head coach Raheem Morris, second go around here with the Atlanta Falcons this time, not an interim head coach. Raheem Morris may have hinted as to what they plan to do. Listen.
You want to go get the best fit for your people. You want to go get the best fit for your coaches. You want to go get the best fit for our city. And you want to do all those things. Like, there's nothing ruled out. And I forgot to mention trade, yeah. You know, because all of those things come into play, you know. And, like, I know I'm all over the place with you right now. No. And it's good because we've really been tedious. We've really been going through the process of how we're going to acquire the best fit for us. And I know you're going to jump all over this best fit for the city thing. I can see the excitement.
Well, I mean, you said it.
People are going to read into those words, whatever, yep. However they do those things, and you can't stop that.
Yep.
You know, obviously there's people that are from Atlanta. There's people that from around Atlanta. You can name the mileage of how close some of the people are, but, you know, you got to do what's best and what's right for your team at the right time. And we won't rule out anything until we got to make those decisions at that date.
Ah, he certainly did say best for the city. Yeah, well, the guy who's from the city, right outside the city in the burbs, out of Kennesaw, is Justin Fields. You talk about a trade. Well, if the Falcons were to acquire Justin Fields to be their next quarterback, it would have to take place via trade. Now, Justin Fields, in explaining why last week he decided to unfollow the Chicago Bears on social media, he let everybody know that he just wanted the break. Well, in that same interview, in that same podcast, he also talked about playing at home. He talked about what type of stress it would potentially bring. People blowing up his phone, asking for tickets, people annoying him, looking for favors for professional athletes. In a lot of cases, they prefer not to play at home. They want to be further away to dampen down and tamper down some of the noise. And so I can't blame him if he doesn't want to come back. But you don't think it would be a dream to a certain degree? He's played for the Bears. He's talked about how much he loves the city of Chicago. He might love playing at home. There wouldn't be anything bigger to, or more large to accomplish than winning a Super Bowl here in Atlanta. And let's be real, that sounds like a dirty thing to say, because the last time the Falcons went to a Super Bowl, we know what happened. The 28-3 lead went straight to hell. But as an overall, I think Justin Fields or Russell Wilson would be the best fit for the Falcons. I think if you want to think long term, with all the weapons that they have, Justin Fields would be great. The downside is you'd have to pay Justin Fields. And the upside for the Atlanta Falcons, if they decide to bring in someone like Russell Wilson, is that he's a veteran. I don't think you're losing all that much. You know what you're going to get. And I don't think his decline has been so terrible that he would just pretty much be buried. And if you want to talk about proximity, yeah, it's not just across the street. Russell Wilson's from Virginia. It ain't all that far away from Atlanta, Georgia. And the last time I checked, I don't think Russell Wilson would take the, let's just say, I don't know, 8-hour drive to get from Atlanta up to Virginia. If anything, I think the guy'd get in a plane and be there in 40 minutes. So there's a lot of decisions to be made here by the Atlanta Falcons, and I think it should really boil down to those two. I know Kirk Cousins' name has been thrown around. I think that's just a complete waste of time and just something that you'll see up in a rumor mill. But I would be surprised if Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, if neither one of these dudes were playing quarterback for the Falcons next year. And I really believe if they were to get either one of these QBs, I would take them without knowing who's moving around in free agency and such. I would assume Baker Mayfield will stay down in Tampa. Bryce Young, it doesn't matter. He's going to still get the starting nod up in Carolina, given his draft selection of number one. With Justin Fields or Russell Wilson at QB, I would take the Falcons to win the NFC South. My apologies to the Saints fans. Hey, Hickey, let me ask you this. If you were the Falcons, what the hell would you be looking to do at the quarterback position?
Justin Fields. He'd be my first target. I think he has the best or the highest ceiling still. I think he has a lot of talent, just was in a bad spot in Chicago for a long time. And he's, like, in terms of trading, right, he's cheaper than what you're going to be able to trade up for, in the sense that I think the Falcons, I believe, are 13th off the top of my head. If they want to draft a quarterback, you're going to have to, at least now according to reports, right, there's four quarterbacks going in the top 10 or the top 8. Yeah.
They'll be selecting 8. They're flat at 8 selecting.
Excuse me, then my fault. Then you got to, like, if you want to get your guy and not sit around and get the, you know, the fourth and final guy, you got to move up. And I think it's cheaper for you to trade for Justin Fields than it would be to trade up even a few spots to get the second or third guy off your board if it's not going to be Caleb Williams. I think it makes the most sense for Atlanta to go Justin Fields.
Yeah, I would agree. It's always difficult to kind of go home. And to be clear, when he was eligible to be drafted, and the Falcons selected Kyle Pitts, there were a lot of folks who here in Atlanta who weren't happy that they let him get away. This is someone who played locally at Kennesaw, growing up in Kennesaw. This is someone who suited up, you know, for the Bulldogs before going out to Ohio State, and he didn't get a chance, you know, with the Bulldogs. They brought him in, hey, run the ball, and they took him right out the game. And we saw what he did out at Ohio State as he started to flourish. And so then he got selected by the Bears, who made moves in the up the draft board to go ahead and get him. And what did they surround him with? A little too late. DJ Moore comes in a little too late. And I just think it's time to move on and start fresh. And so for something that should have been from day one, hey, maybe some things are worth waiting for. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, it looks like you can potentially have both Kyle Pitts and Justin Fields. And now we just have to see how they move things forward. You just heard from head coach Raheem Morris. A lot of hints factoring in who might be from the city, and also even dropping hints about, hey, we might trade for a guy. Now, you put one and one together, and you make it equal two. See what happens. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You are listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, and what we're going to do, because there's so much going on in Indianapolis. I mean, there are coaches who are set up to talk to the media. We got players who are starting to arrive. Indianapolis is the hub. for the NFL right now as they get the combine underway. We're going to be joined by Armando Salguero. He's going to come through and chat with us in about 5 minutes. I'm going to get his thoughts on everything going out in Indianapolis and what is most likely going to happen between now, the start of free agency, and then even the NFL draft. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, I know what's going on in sports. But every now and then, you got to dive much, much deeper, especially for something like the NFL Combine. Coaches have descended upon Indianapolis. Prospects have descended upon Indianapolis. And even people who cover the NFL for a living. Someone like the individual joining us right now, who covers the NFL, a senior writer for OutKick as well as Fox News. He is in Indianapolis where it's all going down. It's the hub for the NFL right now. Thank you so much to Armando Salguero for joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Armando?
What up, JR?
What's going on with you? How's everything?
Everything is fine and dandy, my friend. A week in Indianapolis in February and early March, nothing could be finer than that.
Ah, okay. Oh, so tell us what the weather is right now. Is it a balmy 35 or 40 degrees?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Actually, it was in the 60s today, and it was like, "What? Where am I? What is this?" But the fact of the matter is, and here's a little truth that not a lot of people know outside of NFL people. You don't actually have to go outside in Indianapolis during the combine. They got, you know, the
tunnels, yeah.
The walkways that lead to the convention center, that lead to the stadium, that lead to the hotels. It's like you're never really outside if you don't want to be.
Yeah. Well, every now and then you got to get some food, and some of them restaurants happen to be, you know, outside. So at least it's not too bad for you. Some players, they may find out that things ain't all that good for them right now. I know Justin Fields is looking to avoid any NFL news. You got Justin Jefferson. I know they're saying, oh, yeah, of course we want to keep him. Yeah, Russell Wilson is obviously in the news. What is the biggest story that has come out of a coach's mouth or anything that's been said today?
Well, let's see. So on the Russell Wilson front, Sean Payton, you know, basically explained that after the combine next Tuesday and Wednesday, he's going to meet with ownership, and that's when they're going to finalize a decision on Russell Wilson. And so at the very least, you have a little bit of a timeline on what's going on there. We don't know officially what is going to happen, but let's face it, Russell Wilson is going to be playing elsewhere in 2024. That's pretty much set and done, regardless of all the meetings and all the more studying and all of the more salary cap space and everything else. You don't do Russell Wilson like the Denver Broncos did Russell Wilson at the end of last year and then bring him back. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's a matter of formality to make the breakup a little easier. Armando Salguero is joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. Where do you think the most likely landing destination is for Russell Wilson? Where would be a good fit?
That's a great question. I wish I had a great answer that you can play in a soundbite in mid-March when it happens. Atlanta obviously is going to be a place where people are looking to. It's all the the people that are in the market for a quarterback and may not have a ready-made plan because either they're not high enough in the draft to get, you know, their forever quarterback, or don't come with a conviction on finding a, you know, a second-tier quarterback that they can develop. Minnesota, if they don't land Kirk Cousins, perhaps. You know, there's Tampa Bay, if they don't re-sign Baker Mayfield, which, by the way, they have full intentions of re-signing Baker Mayfield. So there's a couple of possibilities. I wouldn't say that Russell is going to get a vast array of choices, let's put it that way. And he will have choices, by the way, because he does have a no-trade clause. And so whatever happens with him, he's going to be pretty much, if not in the driver's seat, he's going to have his hand on the wheel, no doubt about that.
Armando Saguero is here with us, covers the NFL for OutKick. You talked about Kirk Cousins, and we've heard about how much he and Justin Jefferson want to continue to play each other. Is it just also a matter of formality, a matter of negotiating? When we hear all these trade talks, do you think they'll both be back in Minnesota next year?
Kirk Cousins, all things being equal, would like to be back with the Vikings. The Vikings, all things being equal, would like Kirk Cousins back. But everybody wants their price. And the Kirk Cousins' price and the Minnesota Vikings' price are two different prices. So that's a little bit problematic. And the way that gets resolved is Kirk Cousins gets to go into free agency, and other teams will either line up or won't for his services, and he'll be able to compare whatever offer he receives to what the Minnesota Vikings are offering. And the Vikings are gambling and betting that they're doing Kirk Cousins good, and their offer will stand up, and particularly so in the fact that it's familiar, and he's played there, and he knows what to expect, and he knows who his teammates are going to be, and he's played with them. Whereas Kirk Cousins is thinking, I don't know, I'm pretty good. Maybe I should go out there and see if I can do better. And he's going to test the market, and he's earned the right. And so that's what's going to happen there. My guess is that ultimately Kirk Cousins ends up back in Minnesota.
Well, Armando, let's stay in the division up in the NFC North, and let's take a look at the Bears. And we know everything between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, and we heard from Eberflus, we need a quarterback who's great at the end of the game. And then Ryan Poles is leaving everything open-ended. No one is sharing their full plan. What do you think will happen with Fields? What do you think happens with that number one, Caleb Williams, right?
I'm shocked that they didn't share their full plans. I came here exclusively with the assignment of having my ears wide open for them to share their full plans, and they just didn't do it. Very, very disappointed. Yeah, so look, what you don't have the number one overall pick very often. And if you do, you better pick somebody that's, assuming you don't trade it, right? You better pick someone that's going to be there 10, maybe 12 years and is going to lead you to Super Bowls, because that's what the expectation for that pick is. And that doesn't mean you get a center. It doesn't mean you draft a defensive tackle, although you need defensive tackles to win Super Bowls. You need a franchise forever game-changing, dynamic quarterback. And I think that's what the Chicago Bears are intent on finding and intent on drafting. And if you've got one of those, but you drafted somebody that you hoped would be one of those a couple of, you know, 3 years ago or whatever it was, there's not enough room in Dodge for both of those gunslingers. Somebody's got to go. And the guy that's got to go is the guy that's been there a while. So I think that they're going to put Justin Fields on the trade block. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to what they hope that they're going to get. And, you know, forward we go.
As they kind of indicated, they want to get this done at or around free agency so they keep their options open if they are to trade him, which I think we all know they're going to. What are some potential destinations that would be a good fit for him to continue to develop?
We're back with Atlanta, aren't we? The Falcons are – everybody's going to play quarterback for the Falcons in 2024. And the reason for that is perhaps, you know, they've got the eighth overall pick. So they're likely not going to get Caleb Williams. They're likely not going to get – you know, Daniels from LSU. I don't know what the deal is with Drake May. You hear different things about him. But chances are they're not going to be able to land him. And so the idea that perhaps Justin Fields matches up better if you give up like a third-round pick or something like that for him, and he just is – he lines up better for the Falcons than, say, a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, and the evaluation on Justin Fields is higher than a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, then you go that route. By the way, I do believe the Falcons have multiple third-round picks. And so that makes sense. And then you still use the number 8 overall pick on hopefully making your team even better. And you don't have to spend it on a quarterback. And so that's one way of looking at it. This is all conjecture. The Denver Broncos, as you know, will have a vacancy. And they've got to go through the exercise of the Bo Nix and the Michael Penix Jr., and all those guys, and the Spencer Rattler and all those people. So they're going to do that, and they're going to probably do the same exercise comparing their evaluation of those guys versus maybe a Justin Fields.
Armando Saguero is here with us, senior NFL writer for OutKick. This is only the beginning of Combine Week, and we know we haven't seen any of the players or prospects in action yet. We know some are showing up just to talk and not to go out there and perform. What can we expect, or what should we look out for as this week continues on?
Well, that is true, what you said, as far as there's a lot of guys that are here just to talk and to go through the medical exams and to be interviewed by the teams and meet with the teams. And, you know, the household names of those include Caleb Williams, include Drake May, include the quarterbacks that everybody's going, but wait a second, they're fun to watch. Let's see them throw. J.J. McCarthy's going to throw. And he's pretty good. He won a national championship. So that should be interesting. But you're absolutely right. The guys that teams probably would have loved to see aren't going to, you know, do that. They're going to defer to their pro days. And the teams are going to be fine with it ultimately because they've got a lot of tape on all those guys.
Well, soon enough, we're going to find out what happens in free agency in 2 weeks. We know after that, a month from then, we're going to move on to the draft. Armando, I want to thank you for coming through and sharing your perspective, and I'm glad that it's not freezing cold in Indianapolis for you, okay? I know it's not Florida.
My pleasure. And by the way, JR, I should have mentioned the Raiders, too. They're in that quarterback scrum chase for somebody, and they're low enough in the draft to where they might be also looking at being in the mix for a Russell Wilson or a Justin Fields.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up before I let you go, Armando. This is a separate question. How the hell did Tom Telesco just end up with that job, with the job that he just finished with the Chargers? I'm just saying. I thought when you don't do a good job, you don't just have a lateral move to another place.
Yeah, Tom Telesco would tell you that, hey, man, Justin Herbert, I picked him. And Joey Bosa, I picked him. And Derwin James, I picked him. And a bunch of other those guys. And by the way, I signed Khalil Mack, too, and he had 17 sacks last year.
Yeah.
The Chargers had a lot of issues, man. Telesco may have been part of it, no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
But there was a lot of issues.
Yeah, I guess you take the good and the bad, and from his perspective, I guess you emphasize the good. Hey.
Of course.
That's how the NFL works. Armando, where can people follow you and all your work?
Yeah, just at Armando Salguero, S-A-L-G-U-E-R-O, and Outkick.com and FoxNews.com.
All right, good luck with the vertical jump and the 40, okay, Armando?
The bench press is my event, but yeah, no problem. I'll do the other ones too.
My main man. Thank you, Armando Salguero, for joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. So much that we're going to find out. It feels like we've been having a lot of these conversations over the past several months because we have. Like, this is the time of year. Now we're finally up against it. And I don't want to say it's like the holidays. There's anticipation as to what's going to happen next. And as he mentioned, hey Hickey, did you know at one point I did the combine? Did you know that?
Really? No, I did not.
I did. I sucked. I did.
Would you run a 4.3 40?
Yeah, sure. I don't even remember. I think I was in the sixes or something like that. Just rolled out of bed, and I forgot who it was. And one of these companies said, hey, come do the combine, like right before everybody participated. And I did the 40 and the vertical and all of this stuff. Patrick Peterson gave me tips on how to run the 40, and I still sucked. So if I ever had a future as an NFL player, maybe I would be better off just not participating in the combine. I failed. You ever done any of that stuff, the 40 and a jump? You ever do any of it?
I have. Once upon a time, I actually tried out for Penn State football, and we had combine-like drills. Combine-like drills at the walk-on tryouts, but they called them run-on tryouts.
Oh.
Because they're special. I ran the 40 very slowly. A lot of practice, though, with the form. I did not realize how important the form in, like, the first two steps, like, basically dictates how it's going to go. But yeah, I ran slow. The cone, we did a 3-cone shuffle. That was also slow. No vertical jump, thankfully, because that would have been low. any test that I did, let's just say, JR, if we were setting records, it was for the slow record, not the fast record.
There's a reason why both of us are here, right?
That's right, and not making millions on millions of dollars using our bodies.
Yeah, maybe if I was fast enough, maybe I'd be hitting people too.
Could you beat Rich Eisen at least?
I don't know. What does he run? He runs in shoes, right?
Yeah, and like a suit. I don't know what he runs, but he doesn't look very fast.
No, I don't think so. He's probably faster than me, probably.
Oh, that's not good.
But if I think if I raced him in a hallway, there's no way in hell he beat me. Impossible. Impossible.
But a 40-yard dash, he's got you. In the dress shoes? Come on. You got to beat him in the dress shoes.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think I'd smoke most people. Hey, if we were doing legit media, races and running and stuff like that, I think I'd be at the top of the boards outside of, the guys who actually were athletes,
Well, I'll tell you this, the Pelicans, I'm sure, will be training you to beat Stephen A., so at least you can get some professional training on your side.
What do you mean? They're making fun of him right now, right?
Oh, they're making fun of his stats, his hairline, anything.
The Pelicans are getting at Stephen A. Smith about his hairline.
Yes. His high school or his college, whatever, the college basketball stats. They're going hard. They are going hard right now.
Oh, they're still going? I thought this was over a couple days ago.
There was a response video, and then there was a follow-up tweet. So it may have been tampered out now as you sit here on Tuesday, but at least when I saw yesterday, it still was burning hard.
I didn't know Stephen A. Smith and the Pelicans had the next, Tupac Biggie beef, but, here we are in 2024. You got to take the good and the bad. And speaking of beefs, we heard this from our Armando Salguero. He talked about Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. It's pretty apparent to me that these two dudes are like oil and water. They can't stand each other. It is just stuck in my head. Sean Payton just undressing and verbally abusing Russell Wilson on the sidelines last season. And, yeah, so what we're going to do is take a break. On the other side, we'll hear from Sean Payton because, yeah, he spoke today at the Combine. And he talked about, guess who? Russell Wilson. We'll hear from the horse's mouth on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to Armando Salguero from Outkick, NFL writer. He's out in Indianapolis right now. He gave us some perspective as to where he believes, well, damn it, well, some of these guys will go, whether it be Justin Fields. We know Russell Wilson is in the news, and it's pretty much just, we all know he's gone. All right? You could pretty much tell that he was going to be on a short leash from the minute that Sean Payton arrived. Talking about him not having his own office and not running for office and just playing quarterback. And Sean Payton was just brutal. It wasn't just to guys like Nathaniel Hackett, who coached the team before him, but even to his own starting quarterback. And so Russell Wilson, reportedly was going to be benched unless he reworked the guarantee in his contract. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. And then the season started off like crap. A 1-5 record to start. They're able to turn things around. That also includes that beatdown that the Dolphins gave them, 70-20. And ultimately, they do finish the season 8-9, up and down and ugly. And yeah, Russell Wilson, for all intent and purposes, is going to be gone. Sean Payton is the man running the show. But Sean Payton spoke to the media today at the Combine, and he made it very clear. It's my job to pick the next quarterback. And I got between now and free agency to figure out which avenue I'm going to go in. Listen.
I saw this like humorous meme the other day where there's a Bronco fan with a shirt on and there was like 8 quarterbacks names with a cross through it, and he's drinking the quarterback Kool-Aid. And, our job is to make sure that this next one, doesn't have a line through it.
Oh, wow. Hey, Hickey, I'm a little surprised that he even knows what a meme is. It's just me.
He's, I feel like Sean Payton gives off some cool vibes, relative for coaches.
Is he on like a hidden Facebook channel? Is he like on X? Like, what do you think he's doing?
He definitely seems like someone who have a burner account. Not like to tweet or anything or to post, but just to monitor what's going on. I think he would be that guy.
Laying in bed, reading negative things about Russell Wilson. It probably, probably excites him. Good for him. We know Russell Wilson is going to be gone. Let's just see what they get for him. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to San Diego and talk to Gilberto. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show, Gilberto, on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hola, JR. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien, muy bien. I've been listening to you since your change, and you keep getting better, my friend.
Well, thank you, Gilberto. What's up?
Listen, I was thinking about what you were just saying about the quarterbacks and stuff. What about if Russell Wilson, he's going to get cut definitely by the Broncos. If he were to go to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, I think that would be his best shot of to get what he said yesterday about getting those 2 Super Bowl rings. I don't think that far, but at least I think he'll make the playoffs. I don't think Kirk Cousins is the answer for them because they know what he has, and the guy just doesn't win. What do you think?
Well, I think Kirk Cousins is, I want to say, he's the more familiar face. And so I don't. Is there a possibility he ends up with Minnesota? Yeah, sure. But I think it's most and more likely to happen pretty much if Kirk Cousins doesn't go elsewhere. And I think with Kevin O'Connell, he has an ally, Kirk Cousins has an ally with O'Connell, whereas you got to think about Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer could not stand him. He felt that he was a little too patient, not enough of a risk taker when it came to postseason play. So, Russell Wilson, is he a possibility for Minnesota? Sure, yeah, but I think it's most and more likely that they hold on to Kirk Cousins. It's like, hey, do you want to do a devil with the one you know or the one that you don't? So I think Cousins is going to stay.
That'll be a stretch for them. And they need to keep Jefferson. But that's what I think anyway. And JR, I always enjoy listening to you. I'm going to be calling more often. And I'm very, very excited about my Dodgers, okay?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, they yeah, as you should be. I mean, they got the money and they're spending it, right?
Hey, that's what it's for. They need to get, at least they're spending it on players. Today, Otani hit a home run, and tomorrow is the debut for Yamamoto. Let's see what this kid has.
Okay, Gilberto, good luck to the team getting all the money and spending it, okay?
Thank you, JR. Take care of yourself.
You too, Gilberto. Thank you so much for calling from San Diego. Now, that's what they say, spend it. Spend it if you got it. God knows, in Major League Baseball, if you spend it, hey, you got some good odds of it. That championship space. On the other side of the break, speaking of championship space, we heard from some coaches, some owners, some GMs today who said some wild things about potentially getting closer to a Super Bowl, so much so that I have found it laughable. We'll do that on the other side of the break. But before we move forward, I need to let you know about the Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are their mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. Raptors, young all-star, first-time all-star, Scotty Barnes. This man made history last night. 21 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. He also had 5 blocks. The Raptors, they stopped the Pacers 130-122. Barnes, he became the youngest player to ever have a 20, 10, 10, and 5-block game since 2008, while also setting the Raptors franchise record for the most triple-doubles in a season. Listen to this. With 4. The Raptors haven't had many of those triple-doubles, guys. Plenty of scorers. No triple-doubles. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, one thing the Raptors have? A championship. Pretty recently. They won it in 2019. When we come back on the other side, we're going to hear from some delusional just participants in the NFL who think they're closer to a Super Bowl than they might be. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.